All right, but let's continue. We are up to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, Perek Tes, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Chacham, Otzel Beinov, Mishiva, Mishive Toam. Now, there are different ways to translate the first three words of this Pasuk. According to the Mitzvot, we have to change the order of the words. In Otzel, instead of the first word being read as a Chacham, the first word of the Pasuk should really be the word Otzel. A lazy man is a Chacham Be'enof. Just change the order. Lazy people have a tendency of believing that they are very, very wise. And they think they're wiser than the Shiva Roye Pinei HaMelech. We all know this from the Megillah. The Megillah, when Ahasuerus was disturbed that his wife Vashti refused to come before him in front of everyone at the party, so he consulted with the Shiva Roye Pinei HaMelech. But who are the Shiva Pinei HaMelech? Karshna Shesar. Munuchan. Shiva Roye Pinei. Okay, the seven people who were in the press, the seven advised. This was tradition. Why are there dafka seven? I'm not exactly sure what the significance of why there are seven.
Seven heavenly bodies, you know.
Ahasuerus was so religious, he is into the constellations, the seven. Who knows? I don't know.
Seven,
so what, that's why there are seven advisors in the government?
Yeah.
How many people in Pembroke are there in the cabinet in the United States of America?
Too many.
Oh, it keeps growing.
Yeah? Okay, but here we have here the Chacham Otzel Beinav. We have to change the order of the words. And Otzel, a lazy man, is Chacham Beinav, and he believes himself to be wiser, more wise. We take the word Chacham and we repeat it. Mishiva, from the seven people, Mishivei Toam. Mishivei Toam is they respond. People who respond with reasoning. When the king asks a question, when he seeks advice, they respond with advice, with reasoning. That's how wise this Otzel believes himself to be. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Tes Vav. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Chacham Otzel. He Otzel, notice the Mitzvot right away switches the order of the words. So Otzel, the lazy man, who Chacham Be'ini Atzmo, in the eyes of himself, Yoyser, more so. So the mem here, Mishiv, means more so, Mishiv Roy Pnei HaMelech, Hayoidim Lahashiv Tam, who know how to respond with reasoning, Al Kol Asher Yish Alum, concerning any matter that is sent their way, Kibavur HaAtzlus, going back to the Pasuk, due to a person's laziness, Yischacham Limso Tam Al Bitul HaMelecha. Due to his laziness, he finds a reason why he does not seek employment. It's part of his laziness. Part of his laziness is he thinks that he doesn't need to work. How is he going to make money? I do not know. But he has an answer for everything. Now, what does Rashi say? Rashi, Pasuk Tes Zayin, says, Mishivei Toam, just it means Chachomim, the people who respond with wisdom, the seven people who sit in front of the king. Okay, that is the simple interpretation. I did see another interpretation which puts a bit more of a positive twist. According to what we have learned so far, this Pasuk is addressing an Otzel. We're discussing a very evil person, or not necessarily evil, but a lazy person. He is Chacham Beinav. But some learn, no, the Pasuk should be read in order. Don't change the words of the Pasuk unless it's absolutely necessary. And it's not necessary. Read the word as Chacham. A wise man is Otzel Be'enof. That's the Koyach of Chochmah. A person is never satisfied with what he has. A wise man is always seeking more. He always considers himself to be lazy. You say to him, wow, look at your success, look how great you are, look what you have achieved. No! I have wasted my time. I haven't reached my potential. He's Otzel Be'enav, and that is, truth is the secret to his success. He's Otzel Be'enav, he believes himself to be... He's Otzel Be'enav, and Mishivei Toam means that he absorbs. He's lazy in his eyes, and he is lazy. Even though he himself is acknowledged to be a Chacham, he's lazy. He puts himself at a lower stature than the Shiva Mishivei Toam. In other words, according to this interpretation, the Chacham, he really is a person who is above. Above, he's the seven advisors. The seven advisors were not necessarily the greatest Chachamim. The Chacham was greater, was wiser than the Shiva Mishivei Toam. But due to his humility, he he says, I'm a nothing. I know even less than the Shiva Meshivei Toam. Now indeed, the Medrash really interprets the pasuk in this fashion, and we dash this in reference to Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech had 7 advisors, and Shlomo HaMelech was the Chacham he called HaAdam, was wise, and any man that ever lived in this world. But yet, anytime there was an issue in his Malchus, in his humility, he would ask them advice. And that's why he made himself Atzel Shlomo HaMelech. He humbled himself before his 7 advisors. Now, indeed, the Gemara interprets this pasuk even more specifically in reference to whenever Shlomo HaMelech wanted to be Ma'aber the Shana. We know every so often we have a leap year. A leap year means we have an additional month. We add an additional month to the year. Who is the one that makes this decision? The Sanhedrin. But it appears in the time of Tanakh, the king, the Shlomo HaMelech, he would make this decision. So when he made this decision, you need 10 people. And what he did was he brought in, there was Shlomo, there was Nosson Hanavi, and then the third one, who was Nosson, and the God HaChoyza. There were 2 Nevi'im who we find in Tanakh always associating themselves with Shlomo, Nosson Hanavi and God HaChoyza, and then he brought in 7 members of the Sanhedrin, the Shiva, that's what it says in the spot, the Shiva Meshivei Toam, for a grand total of 10, in order to have a minion. In order to have the minion, why do you need a minion team? Abba Shon, it could be to pir lepirsam davar, or you want the Shechina to rest. I'm not exactly sure why. You don't really find anything of minion. I don't know where this comes from. You need a minion of Darusha Bekadusha. You need a minion for Persumi Nisa. When it comes to Abba the Shana, you need a Bezdin. The Bezdin L'Chari means 23. Pirsum. You need Kedusha. So Mekudesh is in order to sanctify the year, could possibly could be. But you don't find Kiddush HaChodesh. I don't know if we really find that you need 10, 3. I think the Gemara says you need only 3. Okay, I don't know. But maybe they wanted to be in Mepharsim, Pirsume Milsa.
Say Shlomo
Aleichem, that's
3.
You need 3 to say what?
No,
that's a minig. What we do with Zman HaZeh is only a minig. We're talking about the real deal. When Bezin was Mekadesh to Chodesh, so they needed a Bezin, I think, of 3. I do not believe you needed 23. So there is an idea of having 10 people in the Pirsume Milsa, a wedding.
What do you have, 5?
2 Adim and then the 3 Dayanim.
And yeah. Probably the witnesses or the scribes.
It doesn't say anywhere though, yeah. Okay, I don't know. It doesn't say anywhere you need 10. But here it says here in the Medrash that Shlomo HaMelech, he called together a total of 10 people to be Ma'abed the Shana, 7 members of the Sanhedrin, as it says over here in the Pasuk, himself, God HaChoyzeh, Nosson Hanavi, a total of 10. The place where we do find 10 is, like, example, a wedding. We once discussed this not that long ago. When a person gets married, you need 10 people. This is a machlokes. It's a machlokes. Okay, but let's talk about the wedding itself, the marriage itself. Do you need 10 people to get married? So there's a machlokes rishonim. Some say you do need 10 people because persume nisa, persume milsa, people should know, be aware that this is an eshes ish. She's a married woman, she's off limits. It's not a joke, it's persume nisa also. Every marriage is a miracle. Hanavin Yavin. Every marriage is a miracle. It's like a gather of persume nisa.
One Rav once told me that he spoke about how, with the difficult circumstances, that he got married on the times that it was in the Depression. And he was complaining to his father that you have to give me this or you have to give me that. He says, I don't have to give you anything. I have one responsible for one thing. Make sure you have a minion, that's all. And he said that to me.
You don't need flowers, you need a band.
That's all I'm responsible for.
10 people, that's all you need. That's true. Okay, so this is Pasuk. Let's go now to the next. Okay, the next Pasuk. Let me just make sure I didn't forget any. There are definitely some interesting things over here. I'm sure I'm forgetting. Okay, yeah, very important. Yesterday we discussed at length. Okay, yesterday we discussed at length this when we deal with the Otz of the lazy man, we collected psukim from the entire Sefer Mishlei where there was a conversation where they said to the lazy person, you know, outside, why don't you go learn Chochmah far away? And he responded, no, I can't go. There's a lion in the derech, on the road. What about, so don't go travel a long distance. Go to the street. No, in the Rechoiv there is a line. What about just go next door to your neighbor? No, Bachutz. Why you just go outside? The door is locked. The door is open. I'm too lazy. I'd rather go to sleep. Okay, we'll bring the Torah to you. Just put it in your mouth. I'm sorry, I can't put this into my mouth. That's only six. I'm not sure what the seventh part of the conversation, because the Medrash is a little bit hard to decipher. But the Medrash does say that if we collect all of the psukim in Sefer Mishlei, deal with a lazy person, and we collect them together, there is a discussion where we're trying to convince him, don't be so lazy. And each time he gives an excuse, it's too hard, so we make it easier. We keep on lowering the bar. We make it easier and easier. And he keeps on finding excuses. There's a total of seven. And that's what this pasuk alludes to. Here it says, the seven Meshivei Tam. The Chacham Otzel Be'enav. So we're reading the words out of order. The Otzel, the lazy person, is Chacham Be'enav. And he always has an excuse more Meshiva Meshivei Tam. Collect in Sefer Mishlei the seven questions that, or the seven attempts that are made to persuade the lazy man to break out of his laziness and accomplish something, he will always have an excuse. He'll always be chacham, have a reason that he considers to be a reason of wisdom to avoid, to answer, to deflect the seven attempts to persuade him to break out of his state of laziness. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud Zayin Machazig. Now, okay, that Pasuk Tezayin has really concluded a section in this parak that dealt with the lazy man. Now we go to the end of the parak, from Pasuk Yud Zayin until the end of the parak, we deal with a new concept, the concept of machloikis, of making machloikis, participating in the machloikis, all the various related matters of lashon hara and machlekes. Pasuk Yitzayin, machazik beoznei cholev oiver misaber al riv lo lo. Now there are some hard words here. The first is over misaber. It's a play on the word. Misaber means to get angry, or in this context, it means to flame the fires of machlekes. You heat up. Havara is to stoke the coals. To get angry. So we take the two words together, oiver misaber. It's two words which really mean the same thing, and it means that he intensifies machloikis. There is hot air that is flying between two parties. There's a very great disagreement, and this person is a bystander, has nothing to do with this machlekes, and he enjoys the show. It's a pleasure to watch two people fight it out, and he gets involved, and he fans the flames. So machazik, a person. So at the end of the pasuk says, al riv, you have to read the whole pasuk backwards. Al riv lo lo. We're dealing with a person who is an observer, who is an outsider. There is a machlokes between, let's say, between two rabbonim, to two Hasidic masters, or between two ordinary business partners, and you have absolutely nothing to do with this. It's a riv lo lo. It's none of your business. And what do? You go online and you write your commentary on the machlokes, and you embellish the machlokes, and you start fanning the flames. You are
participant.
Right, yeah, he's being
Enjoying other people's
money. Absolutely. Tell me about it. So here, read the pasuk backwards. Al riv lo lo. There is a machlekes. What?
Like a mother-in-law.
He said like a shriek.
A mother-in-law. Al riv lo.
Who doesn't say that?
First hand experience.
Who doesn't say that?
Oh, you want to hear a nasty joke?
She was last night. She said the biggest problem is the boy's
mother?
Always, they come and demand their sons don't want.
In Shidduchim. Oh, that's nice, and that's well known. Okay, I'll tell you a nasty joke off the record. I don't have to shut because no one's going to listen to it anyway, so it's not necessary. Not necessary to shut. Okay, I'll tell you this nasty joke. I'm telling you this because a Rosh Hashiva told this to me. A real Rosh Hashiva told me this joke not that long ago. It was Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim, it's a joke. A baby was born. And the rule is, you have no one in the family to name the baby after, so you look for a name in the parsha. So the person comes to the Rav and says, you know, I had a girl was born to me. I get a mazel tov. Baruch Hashem, I have no one to name the baby after. What should I do? Also, look in the parsha. I've looked in the parsha. So the Rav says, what are you talking about? Machashefa. It's a machashefa lo sechaya. It's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So he says, the Shvig is still alive. Ooh, below the belt, huh? Nasty as it gets. You didn't hear this from me, right? Even though I'm holding the table. What?
Was it a spark?
It was because Sunday lay in Bechayim in the Chanavi. So okay, all right. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. This is like a chashva, distinguished Rosh Hashiva telling this. Wow.
Rosh Hashiva once said to me, "They say Altan Val Reachin Levakeach."
Yeah.
Where's the raya?
Yeah.
The Shverat Gnim and the Shviger.
Oh. Wow, gets worse and worse. Don't tell anyone what you learn in Kailo, huh? You get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Shlomo Amel didn't write anything about it. He had more shrinkers than anybody.
That's right. He had them.
Yeah, but they were all far away.
But he paid the bills. Shlomo paid the bills. That's the difference. Shlomo Amel, he had all the money in the world.
I have one more line. It says, Sokel Yisokel Hashver. What does it say about the Shviga? The Gamba all of Yumas.
Oh. yeah, okay.
I'll have a look. Too much in the others. Did you bring it in?
Okay, so here again. Okay, now here's very okay, okay, so again. Back one more time. The pasuk concludes. Al riv lo lo. We're dealing with the machlokes. It's none of your business. None of one's business. And what happens? Oyver, read the pasuk back. They read backwards. Oyver misaber. A person begins to fan the flames. He begins to bring out the machlokes more. So this is equivalent. A person that behaves in such a manner, fans the flames of machlokes that he has no business getting involved, is equivalent. What is the mashal? Machazik ba'ozne cholef. You see a pit bull on the street, you walk, you see a big tough guy walking with a pit bull, and you go over to the pit bull and you grab by the ears and you say, "Good morning, sir." The pit bull is not going to be very happy when you grab it by its ears. You're irritating the pit bull. It's walking on its way. It's not bothering you. You're grabbing by its ears. You're provoking it. You're provoking it. And what is it going to do? It's now going to direct all of its attention to bite you, to harm you. Likewise, there's a machlokes. Reuven and Shimon are at each other's necks. They're punching each other out. And you come along and you start clapping. And you start clapping and say, "You give it to him. Punch him harder here. So what does Reuven and Shimon do? You know what? Let's for the moment make peace between us so we can knock out this guy. We'll direct all of our attention to putting an end to this person. That's what it means over here in the Pasuk. Machzik biyozne chalef oyver misaber al riv lo lo. This is a great example of looking at a Pasuk in Nach where you have to read everything. It's more often than not to read backwards. The only way you can really understand the Pasuk clearly is to read the words backwards or out of order. Let's see Mitzudas Pasuk Yud Zayid Machzik Kmo Ha'oiches Be'ozne Kel, the person who grabs the ears of a dog. You're causing, you bring upon yourself the biting of a dog. A dog, when dog feels threatened, the first thing it does is it bites. And we all know that's not pleasant. Cain, likewise, Hamismale Evra, Vizan, a person that is filled, he fills himself up with anger. Lehis Aber Vilichois, to participate. Okay, here it says that not just that he's fanning the flames, he himself gets emotionally involved in this machlokes. It has nothing to do with you. He fills himself up with anger and fury. Le'esaber to get angry v'lechois alriv she'ein negeya elov, that has nothing to do with himself. Ki kasher yuzak b'dover hazeh, when he ends up getting hurt in this matter, who gom le'atzma, have no one to blame but yourself. No one came to you, no one bothered you. What are you getting involved? You just bring this upon yourself. Okay, now There's another very beautiful interpretation here I saw in the art scroll. He says, what's this thing that he quotes from the Sefer called Shevet Miyehuda? Machzik be'oznechav. Dogs have very sensitive ears. Is anyone familiar with this? Dog. Besides the smell. Okay, we all are very well aware that dogs have a phenomenal sense of smell. Okay, we all know the canine, the canine.
Yeah,
because
humans can't hear it.
Oh, so dogs have tremendous sensitivity to the ears. Therefore, you go and you're chopping their ears. It's not just like you're taking a human being, because you're really playing with fire. Because this is something that they're extremely sensitive to. Okay, that now. But furthermore, that here's another idea. This is another idea. When one dog, this is a reality. When one dog barks, Gesundheit, if they have a collection of dogs, and one dog starts barking, the minig is, I'm not familiar with this, they all start barking. That's the mitzias.
Yes.
So one dog may have a unique sensitivity that there's something wrong. I hear at a distance something that is disturbing, and I'm going to start barking. The other dogs, they don't have such good hearing. They're Zikanim, or they're not from the breed of dog that has that same sensitivity, but they have confidence. This the Hasidim, they say it's a chazaka. If one of our own is barking, I have faith. It's a chazaka. There is a problem. We're all going to bark. We all start barking. So this is what's very frightening. When the person is oiver misabel riv loy loy, when a person gets involved in machlekes that's not his, and he starts making noise, you know what happens? All the other troublemakers start making noise. It's contagious. They all start. So you person shouldn't. The pasuk is giving a message. Don't think that I'm a yochid. What am I? I have a hana. I have these two people, Reuben and Shimon. I never liked these people. They were never my friends. They were never good to me. Oh, look at this. Good for them. They're at each other. They're in a fight. One is they're fighting with each other. So you know what? I have a following. I have a blog. I have a following. So let me put in my 2 cents. And what happens? You put in your 2 cents. All of a sudden, people pick it up. The media picks it up, or people start commenting and comments, and one thing leads to another, and you create a chain reaction. So then, when they come to you later on, or they come to you, a person in Shemayim, they'll say, "Look what you've done! Look what you have caused! You started complaining, and now you started fanning the flames, and now look what happened! Look at all the people that latched on. Not my fault. I'm not responsible for them." The answer is no, you are responsible, because this is human nature. It's human nature. There are a lot of dogs out there. There are a lot of evil people out there. And a dog is considered to be a very low creature. And there are a lot of people out there. And when you start behaving like a dog and start spreading rumors, then guess what? It's only to be a sumachzik bi oznei kelef. Other people are going to say, if he's making noise, if this dog is making noise, it must be, it's a chazaka that it's true. The Lashon Hara, the Motzi Shemra, the accusations is true. And that's what people start going to say. And it could very well be there's nothing there. And it's going to spread like crazy. And the one that's going to be blamed is the one that started the entire thing. That's what the deeper meaning of this mashal, according to the Sefer, is that oiver misaber al riv lo lo. You know what it's like? You're going to be responsible for all the dogs that are going to bark. Because what's going to happen is, you're going to bark. Machazik ba'oznekel. Other, it's an expression. Other dogs are going to say, this is a chazaka. There's something must be wrong. If one dog's ears pick up a problem when there's smoke, there's fire. So there is a problem, and everyone's going to join the choir. Yeah. Machlekes between Rebbeinu and Ibishitz.
Yes. He was in the town, and nobody recognized him. And the people started talking about, you know, there's the Machlekes, the Yavitz, or Rebbeinu and Ibishitz. They say, oh, there is a Choshev Yid. What do you think? He says, I'll tell you. The story with the Chad Gadya.
Okay, very good. Yeah, okay. No, okay.
The Chad Gadya is the good guy. Also, Shumra is the bad guy. If you go down the line, the Rebbeinu Shlomo
is the bad guy. You go through the entire process, the Hashem is right.
So he says, Chad Gadya is the good guy. Shumra is the bad guy.
Yeah.
of a you dog. What
are you, getting involved? What business do you have getting involved? Right. What business do you have getting involved? Right. What business? So don't get involved in it. Exactly. Don't get involved in a machloikis. So the whole chain is changed. The dynamics is changed because the third creature is the dog, had no business biting getting involved. So that's why he's guilty. It's not that it's not his place to be. Don't be a policeman. Okay. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's see first Rashi. Rashi says, "Kamad the same thing." Machzik b'az nekel of oiver oiver. Beside Rashi, machzik b'az nekel of oiver l'saber al riv loy loy. A person that gets worked up, oiver l'saber, his body temperature is raised al riv loy loy concerning a disagreement, a dispute that does not involve him. Harehu ki oiches b'az nekel of hagoyrim sheyishachenu al chinim, caused him to be bitten for no reason. Okay, let's go to pasuk. Okay, this pasuk. Now, this is a shocking idea. You know, a lot of times you learn midrashim. The midrashim, they say things that totally change your understanding of chumash. When I learned, all the years I learned chumash. I mean, I don't learn chumash that much, but you learn by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. He was 22 years away from home. It's now time to come home. He goes back to Yaakov Avinu. And to Yitzhak Avinu, and we even know that he was punished to some degree. Kibud av va'em, he distanced. The reason Chazal tells the reason why Yosef was away from Yaakov Avinu for 22 years was midah keneged midah, because Yaakov was away from his father Yitzchak for 22 years. So obviously Chazal are critical of Yaakov, why he stayed away from his family for such a long period of time. Yet. Yeah, when he comes back, well, it's not when he comes back. What does he do? He sends gifts to Esav. We know the reason why he stayed away was because Esav wanted to kill him. Rivka told him that Esav wants to kill you. Now he's coming home, and he hears that Esav is coming to greet him, or he's on the way. I don't remember all the details. And Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim El Esav Achiv, he sends messengers and he sends a lavish gift. According to this, the Medrash on this pasuk, that was a mistake. Don't confront Esav. It would have been better. Again, this is Ayin Panim Lutara, and Midrashim and Mamar Chazal do not necessarily all agree with one another. But the Medrash is very clear that the Pasuk Chazal are darshing this Pasuk in reference to Yaakov, by Yaakov sending a gift to Esav on the way home was equivalent to taking a dog by the ears. And this sakana that Yaakov put himself in with hiding, you know, there was something, whatever, this sakana that he put himself in maybe also refers to the Sidna Shel Esav, refers to the Vayeovek Ishimo Analos HaShachar. Maybe that also has something to do with it, that once Esav was coming, so the Sidna Shel Esav came and there was a wrestling match in the middle of the night where Yaakov to some degree suffered. Yaakov limped. Yaakov Vayiga Bekaf Yirechoy. Yaakov Avinu brought this tzara upon himself. He could have gone home, or maybe should not have gone home. I don't know what the Medrash really means. Better than confront Esav, his brother. By confronting his brother, it's like he's taking the dog and grabbing it by his ears. Avoid Esav. You want to go to your parents? Go in a roundabout way. You hear that Esav is on the derech? So take a different route. Take a different highway. Take the old 17. Don't take the new 17. Just make sure you avoid your brother, and by not doing so, all of the problems that you can uncover in the psukim, specifically in reference to the malach vayika b'kaf yirecho, he brought it upon himself. And he gives a mashal. I don't know if you have to understand what exactly the mashal is, but the person's going on the road, he's in a dangerous neighborhood, and he knows that Jesse James is hanging out. There's a bandit. There's an evil person that's hanging out on this road. So the person is going on the road and he sees a person sleeping. The person that's sleeping happens to be the bandit that everyone is afraid of. He is wanted, and that person happens to be lying on the floor sleeping along the side of the road. And this innocent person passes by and he sees a guy sleeping, so he wakes him up, and he says, "What are you doing lying here? Don't you know that there's a robber that's on the road that might kill you?" So he says, "Guess what? I'm that's me. That's me. And you woke me up. Bang, bang. That's what the Medrash says. Sending over here is that Yaakov, when he came home, he should have avoided.
His punishment was that my Sedina.
Okay, Kobi, that's another punishment. That's another. Okay, so it's.
Malachim came from Vayivdi Parash
Vayitz. It's a new twist. It's a new twist on the story of Yaakov. We read Parash Vayishlach. We read Parashas Vayishlach. We never think that Yaakov Avinu did anything wrong. Yaakov Avinu had an obligation to return home to Yitzhak and Rivka. He had an obligation. So what did he do wrong? Well, maybe in Achanami he did nothing wrong, but this Medrash, clearly it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, chapter Ayin Hey, I guess that's on the Parashah of Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. We take, and there it specifically connects this Pasuk, Oiver Misabel Al Riv Lolo, avoid him. Just steer clear from trouble. You don't want to. You want to confront trouble. You're asking for trouble. Okay, but let's go to Pasuk Yud Ches. Kimis lahalea hayoyrez zikim chitzim v'moves. We have to read Pasuk Yud Ches with Pasuk Yud Ches together. Cain so too is ish rima esreyu v'amar haloy misacheg oni. Practical jokes. Two psukim together are telling you about a practical joker. People who make jokes, and they say, I'm just joking, but we all know that in every joke there's a mashuhu of truth. More than a mashu. And you make a...
And then who's at the end of the joke.
You make a joke. You're really putting down someone else to some degree. Yeah, I'm just joking. You're not just joking. You really mean it, and it is problematic. And that's really what the pasuk here illustrates. Now let's read the pasuk again. The example here will read, is the person that's yoreh. He's shooting zikim chitzim v'mabes. Three different types of materials. Zikim is fire. Okay, these are fire bands. Okay, we don't really have this anymore. So do we have such things like this today? Okay, fire bands. And chitzim are arrows. That's much more serious. And v'moves is, according to some interpretations, it means arrows covered with poison. Ancient times, they would take poison and they would coat the tip of the arrow with poison. So it's one thing, a person that's hit by an arrow. Okay, hit by an arrow. So you get hurt, a little bruise. But when the tip of the arrow has poison, that's certain death. So there are three different madregos. Zikim are less harmful because it's just fire. And the fire does not have any substance. You're shooting sparks of fire. The fire does not have any substance. So when it touches the person, so maybe you'll get a slight burn. Maybe nothing will even happen. The arrows, that can cause real harm. It can give a bruise. And the things are poisoned. So a person is shooting these things at his friend. But he just barely misses. He does it on purpose. He aims with precision to miss. And then when his victim is startled, you almost killed me. You almost ran me over. You almost hit me. Just joking. I didn't mean it seriously. If I really meant it seriously, I would have hit you. I would have actually hit you. I was aiming not to hit you. It was just a practical joke. I wanted to see how you would react. So that is something that is not... And the first word of the passage, kimis laleya. He wears himself out. In other words, he exerts himself to such a degree that when the day is over, he needs to take a nap. He doesn't just do this light-handedly. He has plans. He's a devious person with makavana to the degree that it weighs upon him. He's tired from the effort he has expended in shooting zikim chitzim v'moves, but he purposely missed. Okay, that's what it says here in the Mefarish. He purposely missed, and then he tells his friend, "Kaini shrima, a deceiver, esrei v'omar haloi misachikoni." I'm just joking. You're not joking. Obviously, when the person says, "I'm just joking," you're not joking. He basically, what he's doing is, I'm sending you a warning. I'm sending you a warning. He's a deceiver. He's an evil person, and he's looking for trouble. Such a person, indeed, is looking for trouble. And you know good and well, steer clear from such a person. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Yuches Nitzas. Kemis la leya. Kimo hamisyage, a person that expends effort. He's tired. Expends effort. He works hard. Lizroif to throw nitzaitzim shel esh. sparks of fire, hanichbim term yavo el misha zarkam, the sparks of fire can kill a person, but they're designed in a way where they will be extinguished before they reach their destination. V'lo yaziku also, and it will not actually cause harm to this victim. Hine, and then he doesn't say the end of the pasuk. Chitzim v'maves, that refers to other types of projectiles that they potentially can cause harm, but he shoots it in a way where he purposely misses. In kol zeh lo yigal erik, even though the person has done this, it was not for nothing. The effort he has expended in trying to scare his friend, ki kavanaso la'amin yada, what is he really trying to? He's trying to train himself. This was just practice. It's just practice for the real thing. I'm practicing. Next time, I'm not going to miss. I'm really going to kill you. La'amin. He's practicing his hand in order to throw real arrows and things that will really, really devour mahamamisim. So according to the Mitzudos, he's eating a lot of words into the pasuk. Seemingly, he's saying is that the zikim is practiced for the chitzim and the maves. The chitzim and the maves is going to be the real thing. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. The pasuk seems to be over here says he's tiring himself out for three things. Other mafarshim learned that all three are examples of practice. But according to the Mitzudas, it appears to say that the zikim, that is something which is just a flare. It's a practice shot, but that's practice for the real deal of the chitzim and the maves. And next pasuk says keinish pasuk yutes in the Mitzudas kein hamir me'esreyu, a person who deceives his friend v'chasher yargish bedavar, and when the victim realizes that he is a target for deception, Yashiv Loimar, the aggressor says to the victim, Haloi Lishaik Asisi, don't worry, I didn't really mean it. I didn't really do anything. I hacked into your account, into your email as a practical joke. I didn't hack into your account to get your bank account numbers and all your personal credit cards. I was just playing around, testing the security. Exactly, it's just a joke. Oh, really? This time you test. Next time you
for your good.
For yours. So next time it's the bekavanasi haisa legalis lecha. I'm a whistleblower. I want to show you that you need to improve the security. But in the meantime, you chaperai in some private information. Hinei yodoa teida. You, the victim, should be fully aware. Don't be deceived that it was just practice. It was just a test of the security systems. Yodarate that shalokein who it's not so, v'hishamroi mimenu, stay far away from this person. Ki daita, it's clear as day that his intent is liramais, to deceive you, kashayim sayoda, when he will have the opportunity to do so. It's powerful stuff here. Okay, now this is... Now let's see first Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, the zikim? So we translate the zikim to be a fire band. That is Rashi's first interpretation. Fire band means it's a piece of wood.
You mean a spark.
A spark, and it's a flamethrower, but when it reaches its destination, it already blows out. It only can go 20 feet. So when it gets to 21 feet, it's extinguished. So the person who's standing 25 feet away and he sees fire coming at him, he thinks it's curtains. It's all over. There's a torch that's coming my way. I'm 25 feet away from the one who shot this flame. But little does he realize that after 20 feet it goes out. It only has enough energy, enough fuel to last for 25 feet, and then all of a sudden it dissipates, it self-destructs. Right. That's how they broke down the walls of Yerushalayim. That's how the walls of Yerushalayim, time of the Churban Bayis, the Bayishen, the walls came down. Is that in between the layers of stone, they had wood. We learned about this in Sefer Divri Hayam. There was wood in between every few rows of bricks. There was wood, and they would burn. They would destroy that wood, and that would cause the stones to topple.
That's why it's called that. Parazasim is full of trees.
Yeah.
They took the trees and they burned it under the limestone.
To melt the limestone melted. It's a lime, and the whole thing just collapsed. Okay, so this is what Shirashi in his first interpretation says. Kimisiage, a person, he tires himself out, liros, to shoot zikim shel esh, what they translate as fire bands. With zikos, I have destroyed you with fire bands. Miloshon zikukim dinar.
Suggested flaming arrows.
Flaming arrows. Zikukim dinar, which means that this is the trend. That's the targum means of flaming arrows.
Dover acher. Even fireworks is called zikukim dinar.
That's what it's called, yeah, modern term, yeah, modern Hebrew. Dovrach, a new interpretation. What?
They took the
words. The Tzionim. They knew Tanakh inside out, absolutely. Dovrach, Zikim, second interpretation is, it means stones from a slingshot. Same idea, is that this aggressor, this evil man, this deceiver, he's shooting with his slingshot. He's aiming the stone. The Zikim are the stones that shoot from a slingshot. The chitzim obviously are the arrows of a bow and arrow of an archer, and vamoves is poison. So according to the second interpretation, zikim means beloshet avne kela. It means a slingshot. V'chein b'gemara zikta pasuk lan v'yerach chitzim vamoves. You have given us there. It means you have given us an archer. I'm sorry. A zikta means a thrower of stones. V'yerach chitzim vamoves and a slingshot. He throws chitzim vamoves.
You said it before on the page.
Right, you throw like Marcolus. Same idea, same sherish. The zikim, the stones. Okay, the frizolash. Okay, that French word, stones. It means to throw stones from a slingshot. Okay, pasuk yitessin rashi. The yeri came yishrima mefate umesis. So what does this mean? The yishrima is mefate. He entices umesis. He misleads eschaderoi midarke chayim ledarke moves. So Rashi is more midrashic. It's not just that he's trying to steal your money or steal private information. He wants you to worship idols. The Yetzahara, either it's the Yetzahara or it's a person that has an agenda to have Avodah Zarah. He's Mefatu, Mesis, Eschaver, Bidak, Yichayim, Lach, Imobis, Choshachaver, Marigit, Shemuchu, Mismamata. So, when his friend realized that he was really trying to do this, trying to sweet talk you doing Avodah Zarah, I'm just making a joke. Now, I think you all know this pasuk is obviously is a very popular medrash, is used in reference to Yishmael and Yitzchak. This description, pasuk Yud Ches and Yutes, is what Sarah Imenu observed. Sarah Imenu observed that their her child Yitzchak was playing out in the field with Yishmael. Can you imagine they were children? Yitzchak and Yishmael were children playing in the field together. They went out to go play in the playground, and in the playground, Yishmael picks up his bow and arrow and he shoots it at Yitzchak. Could be he really aimed. Could have been it was a miracle, different interpretation. Rambam tried to kill him, and he it was a near miss. He was 13 years older. 13 years older, so he was a big boy. Okay, so they were at target practice. They went out to the firing range for some target practice. Oops, I missed, okay? I thought I was shooting the paper. I didn't realize it was you standing over there. And it was a near miss, and who observed this near miss? Sari Menu. So she said to Avraham Avinu, Goreish es ben ho'omo hazos, ki lo yirash em bini im Yitzchak, he's trying to kill my child. That was...
The little man in Muntach, he was known as the Malach HaMavis. When he was a little boy, his father was a shechet, so he decided to take his little brother, tie him up, and... Make believe play Shrita. And they caught him in time. But ever since then, he was known as the Malach.
Ooh, that's scary stuff. You told me a story about two brothers, rivalry, one
friend.
Jealousy. What? My friend. So one brother had enough. So the baby was in the crib. Baby was crying. So the other brother, he took some books, took out from the sperm shank, made a staircase.
Climbed into the crib.
Put the kid. Parents caught him right in time. Scary stuff, huh? Okay. Then there is. What? Smart guy.
It was three.
Look, someone told me.
No, to take the sperm.
A doctor told me that many years ago he had a patient who then was already a zokin mufluk. He came into the office and he was already at the end of his life, this person, and he said, "Bes es chatoi ani maskir." He needed really a psychologist to confess the sins of his life. So what did he want to get off his chest? He says that when he was many years ago, there was a child molester in the community. And the Olam knew about this. So today, you know, today, oh, we know about what goes on in the news. We read the newspaper. The Rebbe said, this person has to be stopped. So all the Rebbe said, whatever the Rebbe was. And some people were very aggressive. And they decided they'll put an end to it. So he's told the doctor, I confess, I was one of the people who held him down in the mikvah.
Did he drown him?
That's what he said. Yeah. He confessed that he never. They thought he had a heart attack. No, they had. This is probably 50 years ago, 60 years. Who knows how long? This is a really old story. They thought he died in the mikvah. He had a heart attack in the mikvah. He didn't have a heart attack in the mikvah. He was held down in the mikvah, and he confessed. Can you imagine a story like that today? Such a scandal like that today. All right, let's go further.
I'm pretty good, buddy. What's wrong?
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. This refers to Esav. Let's go to the next pasuk Chaf. Now, more mashalim. The FS Eitzim Tichbe Ish.
Is this still
Machloikis? We're discussing Machloikis. What?
We don't know if this was original Shlomo's or.
This was Gam Eila Divre Shlomo. This Lachar is Shlomo.
The edit section.
Chaf Hey. Perik Chav was Chavav Chav Hey. Chaf Hey. All of this. Lachar, all of this is from Gam Eila. No, because we're going to come soon to two people.
Edited by other people.
No, there's going to be some stuff coming from other people. We actually have their names. We have the names of the Chachamim who are going to. A little bit. Paraglamid Aleph. Seemingly a Shlomo Mamish. I think it's Shlomo, if I'm not mistaken. It's Shlomo. Look at Paraglamid Aleph. Divrei Lemuel. Melech. Mas asher yisrato imai. Okay, so we have Limuel. Who is Limuel? So some say that's a person. It's not Shlomo Melech. It's not a code name for Shlomo. It's the name of a person. There's someone else also. So we're going to have later on a person, Limuel, and there are other people, not someone else. We'll see later on.
Wells could say,
Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chaf. Be'efes Eitzim. When there is no fuel, Tich Be'esh, the fire goes out. Uve'ein Nirgon, this is a mashal. The mashal is, Uve'ein Nirgon Yishtoik Modoin. When there are no complainers, then there's nothing to fight about. Fights only come when there's fuel. You need fuel to fan the flames of Machlekes. And just like when there's no more, there's no wood. So there's no fire. So don't complain. Don't complain. There will be no machlekes. Let's see the pasuk chaf in the Mitzudos David. The FS. FS means zero, right? Is that a modern Hebrew word also? FS is zero. But FS shnei elu shavim. The two things are the same. Shavim heimok kamosha in eitzim tich be'esh. When there is no fuel, the fire goes out. Me'at by itself. You don't have to do anything. Kach likewise kashein nargo. When there's no complainers. Ha'mecharcheriv. Mecharcher means to ignite. To kindle the fire. Riv tishtai kamariv miyatsim. The fire goes out by itself. Rashi pasuchah beefes eitzim kolama shnei dvarim elu shavim kishem shebeefes eitzim tich beish kach bein nargon shel loshen hora. So here we have Rashi is eating something very powerful to the pasuk dealing with complaining. What complaining? Complaining of loshen hora. Sometimes complaints are legitimate, but here we're not dealing with loshen hora. Ha misachsech balei riv, which confuse. Misachsech means to entangle or to confuse. Balei riv yishtek madon machlekes will come to an end. People who fan the flames, they're the ones, the complaining, they're the ones who make all the lashon hara is what makes machlekes intensify. Now there are other interpretations. I saw a whole collection of interpretations which darshan this homiletically in a positive sense. Or not a positive, but differently, eitzim refers to human beings. Ki ho'adam eitz hasodeh. When there are no people, the FS eitzim tich be'esh. Now this means eitzim, what kind of people? Rishoyim. When there are no people, ki adam eitz hasodeh, when there are no rishoyim, tich be'esh, gehenim shuts down. That's what it says. Gehenim is an operation.
But he has no problem with
what? when the Rishon no longer exists, Gehenim Shasa, we think that who cares? As long as we're not in Gehenim. It's not so. There's collateral damage. Global warming. when their Gehenim is in operation, we don't know, this is Divrei Kabbalah, we don't know what this means. Even the people in Gan Eden, it's not the same Gan Eden, because there's always heat escaping. There's always heat escaping from Gehenim to Gan Eden. And if Gehenim is in operation, the people of the Tzadikim in Gan Eden, they don't have it easy either. There's a heat wave in Gan Eden also. Why? Because in this world, there's always a time in the Tzadikim, you should have done more, should have done something to lighten the load of the Rishon. Isn't there something more you could have done to influence the Rishon not to do Averos? So you say, listen, don't get involved. You're right, that's a very legitimate excuse, and you're not really held responsible. There's always a Tevia, maybe you could have done a little bit more. So there's always some seepage of heat that's coming out of Gehenim into Gan Eden, and when the Rishon will cease to exist, and everyone will be happy, then the fires go out, And it's good for everyone. I'll tell you a joke. There was once a machlekes, he says any profession, but the joke is, goes. There was a leak from Gehenim, and the fire was, the heat was coming into Gan Eden. So the people in Gan Eden told people in Gehenim, fix the leak, fix the breach. So people in Gehenim said to Gan Eden, it's not our problem. We don't mind. You don't want the heat, so you fix it. You pay to fix. To fix the opening. So they went to a Din Torah in the Bezin Shalmaila. They went to the Bezin Shalmaila, like, who's responsible to fix the wall? The heat is leaking. So Gehenim won. Gehenim won. The one who had to pay was Gan Eden. So they were talking in this world, the reports of what was going on. Someone came back from the Olam HaEmes to tell the people in Hayalma, what happened? The Din Torah, what happened? So the people were sitting and they were talking in shul, and one guy says to them, of course Gehenim won. They have the best lawyers. Push it. What's the shiloh?
You went from shkia jokes to
lawyer jokes.
You want to hear a mashkiach joke?
A mashkiach joke. Okay, let's still finish up. Okay, so the yishtag, now there's another interpretation. Now this is very different. Gehenim shuts down every Shabbos, only for the people who shut down on Shabbos.
They cut the flames of the river.
There are sections of Gehenna that are only open on Shabbos. There are certain neighborhoods of Gehenna that are only operating on Shabbos. Why? Because there are people who only make trouble on Shabbos. There are people the whole week, they're busy, they're working, when do they have menucha? Shabbos. They come to shul, they make trouble for the rabbi, for the gabbai, for the balabatim. So those people, you can't have put them in Gehenim during the week, because during the week they didn't make any trouble. Shabbos is the hanah, is the trouble. So there are neighborhoods in Gehenim that only operate on Shabbos. Okay, now there's another chassidus shavart. This is a real chassidus shavart, I'm telling you. Eitzim is the same interpretation. Ki ha'odam eitz hasod, but here tzadikim. When there are no tzadikim, be'efes eitzim, tich be'esh, there's no passion. In order for there to eish is the passion of avodas Hashem, to want to serve Hashem. If you're not going to have in your community tzadikim, and ki adam eitz hasodeh, a good tzadik, there's not going to be a passion in eish to be mekayim the mitzvos, to daven, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph says come out the same thing. Pecham legecholim, coals. A pecham is a small timber. Charcoal serves as a coal. The eitzim le'esh, twigs are needed to kindle a fire. The ish midyonim, a quarrelsome, a contentious individual, l'charchariv, he kindles disagreement, dispute, machlokes. Just like you need charcoal to make a coal, to produce coals, and you need twigs to start up a bonfire, eitzim, to get a bonfire going. So too, evil people, contentious people, they're the ones who get machlokes.
Yeah,
Ignite machloikis. It's a mashal. Pasuk chafav in the mitzvah stavid. Pasuk chafalif pecham kemo apacham. Just like pechanim muchanim, they are prepared. They are designated hemo lahavir aish to kindle fire. Kain ish madon, a contentious person muchan hu lecharachariv. A contentious person is prepared to ignite machlokes among people. Rashi, pasuk chaf aleph, pechem legecholim beitzim leish, pacham shel eish osu lahavir gecholim. The charcoal of fire is made men lahavir gecholim to start up, to create coals, to burn coals, oimos that are dimming. Gecholim oimos means the coals are running out of steam, they're running out of fuel, so you have to reignite them. The way you reignite gecholim oimos, Rashi adds in the word oimos, is by what? By adding some fresh coals, by adding some pechamim. Pechamim, they reignite the gecholim. Gecholim are old, they're on their way out. Pecham is fresh. The pecham reignites the gecholim. The eitzim asuim, the twigs are used lahasik eish to kindle fire. The ish modoin. Likewise, a contentious individual, lecharchariv, is one who provokes, instigates, kindles the flames of machlekes. Okay, the Medrash Mishle says, Mo'esh b'mokam she'en eitz. Okay, interprets a reference to Lashon Hara. We really mentioned that before. So let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chaf beis. Divrei nirgan kimis lahamim are blows. Kimis lahamim literally means a severe injury, a severe blow to the body. The haim, these injuries descend all the way to the internal organs. The haim yardu chadrei vaten. Physical harm. A person goes to a boxing match, they're not necessarily going to walk out with internal injuries. Today they say the brain, whatever. But derech klal, you have a boxing match, you get into a fight with someone, so you'll get bruised, you get beaten up. But it's not going to affect your internal organs. Machloikis is so horrible, it affects a person's, it goes into a person's kishkas. It affects a person's heart. It affects a person's, it's a mashal. It affects a person's deepest innermost machshavos, his thoughts, his neshama, aggravation, and that can physically have an effect on the person, can kill a person. So, divrei nagin, in the words of a complainer, when a person is subject to hearing complaints said about him in public, it's kimis lahamim, like the worst type of blows which descend into the person's innermost body. Let's see, suz pasuk chav beis, divrei nagin, divrei hamisloinein, words of a complaint, hema koshim, they are kosh, they are very harsh. Kimakois, like blows, hamishav, which cause injury. The oid hemoyardim lechidri vatan, they are terrible. These blows, they descend into the person's innermost chambers. Aval, in contrast, hamakos hemo mealagof, the makos that are on the surface, mimal, a regular maka, just as on the surface, ucho oimer, what the pasuk means to say, hine hamakos asher hemo mimal, that are on the surface, noyach lerapos, can be treated by a doctor. The loyche makos charivotim, but the internal injuries cannot be treated. That's something which a person suffers with. Likewise, the words of complaint, lashon hara, slander, motzi shemra, reputation that has been destroyed can never be repaired. Okay, let's see over here. Rashi pasuk habes kimis lahanim. Miloshon mislachanim. Mislachanim. Now there is an extra hay in this pasuk. The hay is a chat of patach, which means the hay is swallowed. When you have a hay that's a chat of patach, it's really more of a vowel. It's not a real letter. It's not to be taken seriously. It's almost as if it's swallowed up. So that's what Rashi over here is telling us. Basically, ignore the hay. And when you ignore the hay, you're left with the word mislachanim. And mislachanim means like milchama. It comes from the word milchama. Milchama means war, and milchama means it means milchama means loy. There's a lamed. The hay into a ches. I'm sorry, he changed the hay into a ches. So it's loychem. Milchama in this context means it means war. It means injury, physical injury. So we're changing the hay into a ches. Then he has another interpretation that don't take the hay and make the hay into a ches, but instead keep it as a hay. And the pasuk is nutrikin, and it means Rabbi Sainz Homavracha Parashu Kimis Lahamim with the hay mamish. And two words, Kimes Lohem, death to them. death to them, suicide, or literally death. Words of slander can bring a person to die. Exactly. Divrei hamiraglim, and here Rashi right away jumps to the Medrash. Divrei hamiraglim, the miraglim, the spies of Eretz Yisrael, when they came back and they told Klal Yisrael that there's no way in the world we won't be able to conquer this land. Vayivku b'laylahu, they cried that night, and they did not enter into Eretz Yisrael for 40 years, and that was the source of all the many, many problems. So the words of the miraglim brought Klal Yisrael their death. They died in the desert without reaching Eretz Yisrael. The door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim never made it into Eretz Yisrael. It was the source of their death. That is the interpretation of the Medrash Rashi ties into. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chav Gimel. Chasha Chadri Batin. Himisa Hadroikon. A Misa that's in the throat. A Misa Hadroikon is dropsy. That's what it's called in English. And what is dropsy in English? What is that? It starts in the stomach and goes up the throat and comes to the tongue. And the Chazal tell us that Smida, the Hadroikon, is the Misa for Balei Lashon Hara. It's Mida Keneged Mida. A person used his windpipe and his tongue to speak Lashon Hara. Nenela Mida Keneged Mida. A person suffers with this thing called Hadroikon, which is the Chadri, but it starts in the inner chamber of the stomach and the disease spreads up the windpipe to the tongue. Pasuk Chav Gimel Kesef Sigim Mitzupe Al Chores Sifasaim Dolkim Belevra. Heart pasek. We have silver, but the most inferior type of silver. Kesef sigim dross. Is that how you pronounce it?
Dross.
Kesef sigim. It's like a psoilus. It's not. It's an impure silver, and this impure silver is being used to cover to plate cheres. Cheres is pottery. So you're trying to deceive. A simpleton, go out into the market, a silver becher.
Fool's gold.
Silver becher. But this is silver. And they, wow, what a beautiful becher. It's not silver. It's not silver. It's cheres. It's earthenware. It's worth nothing. And you just covered it with silver to fool the person, to charge him full price. Now, here's the point. Let me jump ahead a little bit. The thing is that this is an amazing insight. People who are fakers, it's very rare, almost impossible, almost non-existent, when you're going to fake someone, you'll never do a good job. Because since the nature is that you are a faker, you'll fake yourself. It's one thing if this person would have plated earthenware with real silver. It's very likely you would get away with it. I don't know exactly why. I guess maybe the weight of earthenware is equivalent to silver. Is that correct? Is that true? I don't know. I don't know the answer. But the Mefarshim explains that if the person, the deceiver, would have gone through the effort of plating earthenware with real silver, he may have got away with it. So what would it cost? A real silver goblet would cost, let's say, $100. Now that it's really earthenware, I'm plating with silver, so it's only cost me $10. The plating is $10. I'll walk away with $90. But I'm so cheap. I'm such a charlatan. I cheat myself. I'm only going to cover with inferior silver that's worth $1, so I can gain $99. But the thing is, when someone comes and looks at the silver and he sees that it's inferior silver, he right away is suspect. Wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And he starts to analyze it in more detail, and he immediately realizes that underneath is earthenware. If you would have not been such a faker, been such a cheapo, and you would have at least plated it with real silver, then the unsuspecting buyer would get away with it. But that's the nature of people who are deceivers. They're so crooked, they're even crooked to themselves. They can never do it 100%. And that's the telltale sign of people who are fakers. What are the fakers? They're dolkim v'levra. Dolkim s'vasayim dolkim. Their lips are murmuring. Their lips are ablaze. Dolik means fire. Their lips are, they're full of passion. They're smooth talkers. They're saying all the right things. They're giving you compliments. And they're buttering you up. And they're telling you everything. And the truth is, v'levra, They're just underneath, under the hood, they have an evil heart. They're just out to deceive you. They, those type of people, are people who cover themselves up with silver. Underneath is garbage. And even the silver, then the point of what he's trying to make is that if you'll go and you'll pay close attention, even the silver is garbage. Meaning even the words, the words of nonsense that are coming out of these people's mouth, if you pay close attention, you can see right through what they say. When they give you a compliment, listen carefully to the compliment. You can see that the compliment is not even a compliment. And that is an indication that the person beneath is has a levra. So let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Chaf Gimel and Tzai Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Kesef sigim kmo hametzapikli charis bekesef hamuruv besigim. A person who plates earthenware with kesef sigim. Sigim means the dross, the inferior type of silver. Hine kasha yire haroya. When the observer sees ki sigim hema, that the silver is inferior, yitain leiv. It's a telltale sign that there's something wrong. Livchon bepnimios, to look inside. The yimsi will discover charis min charis. You'll discover that it's pottery. Kain likewise hasif asam haroif machar havas abrios. People that are smooth talkers, sweet talkers. They tell you they love you. But in their heart, they're trying to deceive you. Hine kasher yimsa b'svasa b'umara v'imaat. If you'll discover, the way you can uncover people who are fakers is listen very carefully to what they have to say. And when you'll hear even a small amount of ra, even a small amount, even imaatu yodoya teda sheliboy meleya zadon. You can tell him incredible advice. You can sniff out a faker a mile away. When he gives you a compliment, listen very carefully to the compliment. From the compliment, you can see that it's kesef sigim. It's not even a good compliment. And that's an indication that what his real intent is really to deceive you. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi says, dolkim kemo dolak tacharai. Rashi has a different interpretation. It's not like we translate it. It's to pursue. To pursue dolkim, their lips are rushing after you with sweetness. He's not translating the word dolkim to mean fire. It means they are trying to persuade you to do something. They're being doylek. Dolak the achla, Yaakov said to Lavan, you've chased after me. You're pursuing me. But again, other mafarshim say it means fire. The gra, I saw in the article, he says, name the gra, scary vart. He says, if a Sayim Dolkin, there are people in Shul who come to Davin and they're full of passion, their lips are flowing with Psuki de Zimra, the words are coming out of their mouth and they're shuckling away. But don't be impressed, because many of these people underneath is a levra. There's an evil heart. The Iker is the kavana, not to be something of a gift. There are people out there that have. I always marveled. I was always the kind of people that can daven the whole davening in less than 18 minutes. There are people about that. There are people that have that koyach adibur. They have koyach adibur where the words just go. People that can lane. There's something they lane. They can lane the whole parasha. Just goes. It goes. 1, 2, 3. And they can really do it. They can really do every. They can get out every single word in 18 minutes. Sometimes you need a daven. You need a daven sometimes in 18 minutes. Yeah.
This is about filler, and you hear
every word. It's an incredible gift. It's a skill. It's a tremendous skill. The average person can't do it. But just because a person can do it, the Gra says it means absolutely nothing. You can have sifasayim dolkim. According to the Perush of Rashi, it's very good. The lips are moving very, very quickly. So what? The ikar is the lev. If it's a lev ra, nothing else matters. Okay, we will stop over here. I'm sorry, didn't say the Rashi, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm fine. Pasuk al Gimel. Mitsubim al Cheres, Kisigi Kesef, Hamidibokim al Cheres, like Sigi Kesef. Silver dross, inferior silver that is attached to Cheres, Sharfim also, which they, the smelters, they extract, what they use. Also bo, Buhu Madik, and it shines. It shines brightly. Ki Iluhu Kesef, but the truth is, it's worthless. It's fake. The Ein Baitelis, Kain Like, likewise, Sifasim Dolkim Levra, Haroifim Achar Habrios Lahasitom, the Chalokas, with smooth talk, to incite them, to entice them, with smooth talk. Chalokas is smooth talk. Umidabim Echel Bepev Yechel Belev, they are insincere, the Levra, and they have an evil heart. Nearing, they make believe, Ke'oyavim Behem Oivim, they're really your enemy. Dolkim Kumodulak Acharai. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll learn until he comes, we'll learn some Kitta Shulchan Aruch.